Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
In this interview, we discuss the opportunities and implementation of AI in an organization. You can learn more about this by joining us at the AI for Business Summit in Henley on the 28th of September, 2023.
So today for Goals Question Time, we've got the pleasure of being joined by Yasmin. Hi, Yasmin.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good. Now, we've had the pleasure of meeting through Creative Destruction Lab at Oxford and the AI stream that I had the honour of being sort of a mentor on that one. And you graduated from that programme now.
Yes. Can't say it was the easiest experience, and it shouldn't be, but we did successfully graduate. So, yeah.
Great. So could you give us a brief introduction to yourself and your venture, and then we'll get into more detail on the particular topics.
Yeah, sure. So as you said, I'm Yasmin Topia, CEO of Associate AI, and I'm working with a community of world-leading scientists and AI researchers ahead of academia to create the world's most engaging, fastest learning shopping AI, so in the future we never have to click and scroll online looking for the things that we are looking for.
Great, great. And I think the reason why I wanted to speak today is I'm seeing AI now and going back 25 years ago plus when I started what I'm doing now about taking tech and bringing it into businesses. And I was seeing .com then, and I was thinking, look, you know, this is going to change the way that business operates, you know, and now we see Amazon, now we see online search and sort of stuff like that. But when I started that back in the late 90s, corporates really weren't engaged. And now what I'm seeing is AI is here, and I'm seeing the big potential for that sort of transformation. So I'd be really interested in getting, you know, your passion about the area you're working on now to see if we can convince people that this thing is going to transform businesses like previous waves of tech has gone. So can you give us a bit of introduction in about the drive, about why you're trying to change this search and trying to change this?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a serendipitous journey. So my background, I am actually a serial AI entrepreneur. So I am one of the founding partners of a deep tech venture lab called Post Urban Ventures, which was set up specifically to unlock the potential of AI. So there we have academics, researchers working on almost science fiction type things. And I was brought in to essentially be that interface between their research and finding real world problems that we can solve with that research and commercialize that research. Because if you have been in contact with academics and if you are interested in that research side, you will see that there is a lot of doing things, which is absolutely right, because they love the research, but not necessarily thinking about the business value. So I got pulled into that in 2016 because I have a long career in sales and business development. So I worked for Adecco, and then I worked at PwC, where I was responsible for interfacing with large organizations, really getting under the skin of the problems they were facing, and then interfacing that back with the organization to see if we could build solutions. And so I'm not technical in the least, but what I can do is take these very complicated concepts and see how we can make things better and solve problems. So I did that across four other companies. And the great thing about AI is that that core research can transform so many different things.
Yeah, it's that transformation, and that platform is the thing which I'm seeing now, which is going to transform lots of different areas. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So in Associate, the core research is actually around curious AI. So the work that Luke had done, my chief scientist 15 years ago, was around giving AIs the awareness of what they know, what they don't know, and what they need to find out, and how they can use that awareness to essentially learn more and get better. And his challenge to me was, Yasmin, like, what can we solve with this transformational capability in AI? And as I'd done with the four other companies, I explored things like insurance. So the idea that you can talk to AI loss adjusters and tell them what's gone wrong, what's broken, show them things, and then they can process that claim. I explored the remote fix industry. And I was only supposed to be interim CEO. However, when I looked at fashion as a sector, and this is a problem that I know very well, because if anybody asked me, what website do you like to shop on? I would say none. And I would still say none, because the problem is there's just so much out there and it's just a trawl. And anybody that shops for clothes or shops in homewares will tell you that they want something, they'll spend hours clicking and scrolling. And so it was all about sort of digging into that problem a little bit more and finding, well, why is this problem existing? And the problem exists because the entire sector and how AI to date has been implemented is so dependent on tagging. So, you know, machine learning is actually just about matching keywords and finding them in the descriptions and bringing them up. And so it was like, well, okay, now we have these curious AIs that can actively learn. Tagging isn't going to be a problem. So what can we do with that? And it was kind of that light bulb moment that the holy grail of understanding customers is actually letting them tell you what it is that
they want.
Crossing that with what you know about them and also what's going on in the world in real time. And if you can kind of combine those three things, then you can serve immediately.
And you and I have talked as well. I'm a co-founder of a business called Loan Design Club, which is in this sort of fashion space. And Rebecca Mortar is the CEO and driving that business now. And the reason we started that back 5 years ago now was because the high street was dying, you know, that the experience of the customer going in there, very much the online is, as you're saying, it's flicking through pictures. There's no real engagement in that with the customer. And we've really been about how do we get this omni-channel experience. When the customer goes into the store and speaks to the brands and the brand talks to the customer and they understand what they want. And I see that now with AI. When I chat to ChatGPT or Claude, we have a chat and we get an understanding. And I, from seeing what you're doing in Sociate, I can see that that bringing those things together can really work. So I'm still a believer that I don't think it's just going to be online.
No, absolutely. You know, no, I agree with you.
So I think that communication part and how do we bring these things together? And you're right. This is a platform thing. So it's, you know, when you're doing an insurance claim, you want some empathy. You want some engagement and some discussion. You don't just want to fill out a blank form. So there's a lot more engagement in that there about what you've sort of done. So could we drive down? We've got an understanding now about the drive and the technology. Could we drive down a little bit about you as a startup? So you've got an entity now, you've got investors. What's the sort of process you've done in starting this business and who are the people involved in that within it?
Yeah, sure. So as I described, unlike a lot of startups, we started with the technology first, and then it was a deep dive in lots of industries to understand what the opportunity was, validate the problem. So what I would say the most important thing for us has been to be talking all the way through. Every time we've made an assumption, going out into the world, talking to clients, talking to potential customers, getting those data points. And the great thing about starting off in quite an agnostic way, and even maybe having a team originally who I'll come on to, a little bit hostile to the idea of something fluffy like fashion, is that I had to work very, very hard to prove that this is the road that you have to go down. And so I would say that was the most important thing, that deep dive exploration, talking to the customers, not just myself. I have an instinct about this, of course, being that target and core customer audience, but going to the organizations and really learning about what was stopping this leap already. Because there are so many e-commerce search software solutions and personalization software, you know, out there. Yeah. So why is this experience still so bad? What's stopping organizations from making that leap or implementing or integrating or moving forward in a meaningful way? So that, you know, that process of uncovering and being very, very systematic throughout the entire path. In terms of the team, so a business like Sociate cannot exist with similar people, I don't believe, in the founding team. You need to have that diversity in skills and thoughts. So I, as I said, come at this from a problem solving and the interface to the real world. We have a chief scientist, Dr. Luke Robinson, who I've built four other companies with, has a PhD in quantum physics, is now one of the world leaders in AI machine learning. My chief technology officer, Naveed, he pioneered the world's first user eye tracking tool for advertising research, and this tool has been deployed by TikTok, by Facebook, serving, you know, over a billion adverts a day. And my head of product, she worked in Latin America's biggest banks, so looking after over a million conversations via chatbots, so the chatbot product lead. So without these people, it's impossible, I believe, to build something that will have the potential to change this experience. And the fascinating thing is that we all look at the problem and we all cover the problem in such a different way. And it's a real challenge sometimes, kind of sitting there and how to make everybody come together.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's great about all of us is that we look at where the world is going and what could be possible. So none of us limit ourselves with, well, this is how it works today. And we take a bet on how technology is going to take that leap forward. So we took that bet in 2020, all of us sitting around a table, that actually the idea of labeling is going to be going away, and that you will be able to have AIs that can actively learn, and that is not going to be a burden anymore. And it's only when you kind of take that bet and you know it's coming, either it's going to come in 12 months or 3 years or 5 years, you kind of make that bet and then you build towards that.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, you're starting out in fashion as an example, but you've looked at other sort of sectors.
Exactly,
that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But we chose the one with the most immediate need and also where the budgets are, and the one that will, you know, make the, you know, where we felt that we could paint the picture very, very quickly. So a lot of it is, I would say, mercenary and pragmatic, but yeah, this is what you have to be in business.
And definitely in a startup, and particularly in this environment at the moment with investment being more difficult, getting to those proof points and getting customers is so important to start with. So we've talked about your purpose, we've talked about the process you've been through, we talked about the people, partners now, customers, you know, technology partners, partners such as Creative Destruction Lab. What's the partner ecosystem and that around that you're getting sort of support from and working with?
So very broad and varied. In a way, our customers and our partners are almost the same. So for me, as I said at the beginning, it's to not build in the dark and to ensure that we are airing every single assumption. So we went through a process of identifying who our target audience would be, and we very quickly understood that that would be retailers, multi-brand retailers in particular, organizations with a broad and wide range of inventory. And those are the people that we talk to. And we always make sure that we're delivering some value. So essentially, at the beginning, we just had an idea. And the key thing was to go out and say, like, we want to build an AI that can see and speak and you won't need to do any labeling. Is that good? Everybody will say that that's a great idea. However, you want partners that are going to help you, and partners will tell you if they don't think it's a great idea as well. Yeah. And so with those particular retailers, it was always asking, okay, so this is the next step. Can you kind of do this feedback or survey for me? Would you be able to pull together a quote? Would you be able to contribute to this particular article I'm writing? And this is how you kind of start understanding who your allies are, I think, when you make those asks, and also how you can understand whether the idea is good or not, because people won't give their time.
Yeah.
You know, people will say it's a good idea, but people won't give their time if they don't think it's a good idea. So yeah. Those are our customers. In terms of technology partners, what's great about being in this ecosystem as startups is that there are always other startups that are working on complementary technologies, also at the cutting edge. So for us, we know that our AIs will eventually go into things like digital humans, but we don't want to spend all our time sort of, you know, building avatars and building kind of the voice recognition platforms and the speech to text technologies or all of that kind of stuff. So being open and always communicating with other startups as well to see what opportunities there are. And also the customers of tomorrow. So there are, and this is where I'm very excited about potentially how we're going to find funding. It's the people that are building the eBay of tomorrow, the Vinted of tomorrow, yeah. The people that are just fed up of the technology and the existing solutions that are out there.
Yeah.
And they are looking for that step change as well.
Definitely. And I think what you're illustrating there is what I term innovative new value chains. It's how do you bring different parts of technology and different startups in a new value chain, in a new experience for the consumer and for the customer and the suppliers, which cuts across previous industries. You know, it cuts across previous database. It cuts across previous online shops. It cuts across previous retailers and just builds a different engagement, different value chain. And I see that in so many technologies now, whether it's from .com, as you said, creating an Amazon, which, you know, retailers wouldn't say, oh, people would never buy, or eBay, you know, people would never buy untrusted sort of things, or like electric vehicles now. The value chain for cars and mobility is very different than the hydrocarbons and Absolutely. The auto manufacturers, and particularly when it becomes autonomous, or like in your scenario for the future, if it's an autonomous avatar and autonomous search and sort of stuff like that, it becomes something quite different. And and neither of us know what it quite is yet, but we know it's going to be different to the current, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the most exciting thing about people always working on the edge and trying to imagine what that world is going to be like in 5-10 years. That kind of, you don't know where you're going to end up, but as long as you're listening and you cut out the noise and you focus on the value that you want to add, as you know, it's called value chain for a reason. You're focusing purely on the value and listening and cutting out the hype. And there's so much hype around generative AI and so much noise about it. But it's like, well, what can this do for me? And kind of just following that trail.
Yeah. And how do you cut through with your performance measures? What sorts of metrics are you now looking at? Soft ones, maybe in terms of, you said, responses of how your partners are engaging, or hard ones in terms of revenues, investments, or stuff like that? What sort of performance metrics are you thinking about now as a CEO?
So I think a combination of both. And I think to measure the right metrics depend on what outcome you want. And I think you also have to have a time scale for each objective. And then reassess. So as you know, Andrew, we've been trying to raise and it's taking longer than usual. And we gave that a clear time amount. So we said, you know, 4 months of going at it, I'm going to spend my time on that. And I knew at that point that I would have to show traction with customers. And so making sure I'm logging the introductions, the meetings, the second meetings, how many mutual NDAs I'm signing, what are those traction points, and knowing to measure those. Also the traction points in terms of the technology performance. So making sure that during our POC, we are benchmarking against the competitor that we are showing our value against. What are the metrics to the customer that matters around search to purchase conversions, showing that we are consistently beating those for our customers who are the retailers, the sellers. It's all about how can we make more money. So making sure that's at the core. So we were monitoring all of that in order to secure funding, but we made sure that those metrics are still important if that didn't happen. So that way, if we get to the end of the 16 weeks and we have to change tack, which we have decided. But actually, during that time, because I was still talking to customers, there was still a load of sales opportunities out there. And maybe it is actually much better time spent to explore those. And so the funding didn't happen. I can't be in that fundraising mode. Move on to a more commercially focused sales mode. And now we have a clear sales process, which monitors our funnel. And I think this is something from my sales background of having started out as a recruitment consultant. These are the amount of meetings I need to target myself to convert those onto the next stage. And at this stage, we're going to be asking for this data and, you know, pushing people down that pipeline and making sure that the entire team also knows what those metrics are, and they've got their own way and ability to contribute to it as well, so that they are part of that journey.
Excellent. Well, we're very pleased that you're going to be participating in our AI for Business Summit, which we're going to be having in Henley Business School on the 28th of September. And really the focus on that is what we've been talking about today. It's about how this AI opportunity and the challenges of the implementation and really trying to get different collaborators together around what what this new future and that could be. What sorts of things are you hoping to get from the day, and what are you wanting to speak about?
So what I would love to be able to speak to partners, attendees about is that it's not difficult, but maybe a really good place to start now is look at what data pockets that you have, understand where all your time is going, and is there that cross-section of where you have data and you are spending an inordinate amount of time that, and maybe is there something in there that we can unlock for you, not associate, but can generative AI unlock for you if you've got that data and you've got that kind of time drain already going there? How can you make that efficient? So I think that, and also discussing kind of ways of being able to implement AI in ways where it's not cumbersome and it's not heavy integrations. All of these technologies, as amazing as they are, they will only take off if there are ways to integrate these with sort of the least amount of work, especially if you are a big organization and you have infrastructure. So talking about how that could be made easier, and we have a lot of insight into this, having been speaking to multinational retailers about their systems and about their platforms for the past 12 months.
Yeah. No, I think you're going to get a lot of value out of collaborating with, you know, your peers. So we've got participants there who've been implementing operational excellence information in the likes of Coca-Cola globally, and bringing data from their different bottlers and their different processes, which are different dispersed organizations. They're not all owned by the one conglomerate. There's marketing people. There's people who are involved in health and fitness sort of type areas. So we've got different industries coming together. We've got different people from different parts of the value chain. So we're really excited and be able to bring those together at a great venue at Henley. So we're looking forward to having you participating and the others participating. But thank you so much for sharing your insights today about your venture and your passion around AI.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for asking me. And I look forward to seeing you on the 28th of September in Henley.
Please give this a 5-star like on your platform and subscribe for future interviews. Thank you.